Welcome friends to another chapter of Legal Aspects of Business. This chapter will relate to e-commerce regulations. Now, this is a very important aspect, though there is no legislation as such in terms of the e-commerce, but there are various other acts. Okay, a composition of various other acts that go ahead and concentrate on e-commerce. Like for contract agreements, we have Contract Act. For sale of goods, we have Sales of Goods Act. For criminal action, we have IPC. For intellectual property, for trademark, we have Trademark Act. Likewise, for e-commerce, we do not have any particular legislation. India is still to evolve a particular legislation and pay attention. The government here has miserably failed to give much importance on the legal regulation of e-commerce. And that is the reason, if you know and you are aware about the way e-commerce work, we have had issues with Snapdeal, and there are other pharmaceutical online companies which are facing problems. So let us see what are the e-commerce regulations. This will be very important for all the management students, because somewhere down the line you will become the directors. You may also be an entrepreneur yourself. You may become a seller into marketing, something which will relate to e-commerce. Today e-commerce has become so important because we are buying everything online, we are selling everything online. There are informal groups on Facebook which are into buying, selling and reselling. Now these e-commerce are not regulated. Many of these people think that there are no such regulations which will go ahead and give them a problem if they go ahead and fail to follow the rules and regulations. So let us see what are these regulations. Now before I go ahead and start, there are two terms which are very, very important. The first term which is very important is the cyber due diligence. Every now and then you may come ahead with this term of cyber due diligence. What is cyber due diligence? You may not find any definition anywhere, but cyber due diligence is particularly, it means that the company or the intermediary. Intermediary means maybe YouTube is an intermediary where someone uploads and they are merely the channel of showing the particular video. Okay, so there might be DCMA rules which they have gone ahead and infringed. Not the intermediary directly, but maybe the person who has uploaded the video. There are copyright violations also done. A serial cannot be uploaded and streamed on YouTube, and despite that it has been streamed. You may come across certain videos which will say that it has been taken down due to copyright violations. These are all problems that are faced in terms of e-commerce and these faced specially by these intermediaries. Now, when these intermediaries or anyone who is dealing into e-commerce is supposed to follow a certain due diligence. What are these due diligence? These due diligence are that nobody should misuse these e-commerce website. For example, when I am Vodafone, it will be my responsibility to make sure that nobody hacks into the system, that if there is any hacking that happens, there is a grievance cell where the victim can go ahead and inform the grievance cell that look here, I am the victim of this hacking, etc. So this is what is cyber due diligence all about. Now the second very important aspect that you need to know is that, as I have said in the beginning, that there is no particular legislation which goes ahead and regulates e-commerce, but there are various other regulation and legislation which has impact over e-commerce. Like for example, our Information Technology Act, they have given certain parameters and diligence that has to be mandatorily followed by e-commerce websites. Our FDA, pharmaceutical rules and regulations. There are then the FDI, the foreign direct investment, alcohol. These are all these various acts or regulators have their regulations in place. Like for example, if it's related to liquor, or if it's there are various regulations related to games and gambling website. Like gambling is illegal in India. So how does this gambling websites work in India? Would they work? Pornography, etc. All these have their own, the regulators have their own rules and regulations which this e-commerce has to follow. So let us see what is e-commerce regulations. Now, as I have said in the beginning, today we have so many websites, Amazon, Flipkart, Jabong, Myntra, etc., who are going ahead and becoming intermediaries to various products, and they are selling these products. There are online payment made, there are receipt of payments done. Banks have gone ahead and introduced their Apple apps on the Android and iPhone. Now, when these online transactions are done, this is done in a digital society, in the digital economy, in an online environment, which is less minus the human interaction. Like the latest that I have seen is where I can go ahead and make payments. I have an ICICI app on my phone. I can go ahead and make payment to my contact, and then certain web address will go to the person to whom I have sent the payment. I have to give one passcode. So in this manner, without even visiting the person, I'm able to go ahead and make payment. So this kind of online payments have been made. Now these digital environment have certain technology plus legal requirement that they are supposed to follow, which includes the cyber law, for FEMA laws, export and import regulations, and various drug the FDA's regulations, etc. Another very important thing is that these online payment, these websites, it is very important, mandatory on them, incumbent on them to make sure that the online platform that they are giving in order to make payment has to be a secured website. It has to be a secured payment. If it is not a secured payment, then there will be cyber attacks, cyber crime. Like for example, recently there has been a lot, Paytm had faced this problem. But unfortunately in India, these regulations are not taken care of. The general notion that e-commerce companies feel is that they are not liable and that there are no regulations which are on them. Yes, even Indian government for that matter has fallen short in the sense that they have not come up with legislation. Like for example, for networks we have the TRAI. But for e-commerce we do not have any particular legislation or regulatory authority. There are various. And hence there is a sense that no, this is not applicable for me, I am not concerned. But that is not the case. Again, the banks, even in this online, even if there are secure payments, there is definitely nobody can 100% say that, look here, I am 100% sure that the hacking is not possible. Malware, hacking, all is so possible that even in a secured environment, data can be exchanged. Plus in India, data privacy. There is just nothing about data privacy. Recently, I watched a video of a cyber law expert, and the way he explained the entire cyber law and how our privacy is not taken care of, it was so scary that every time when you listen to that video, you feel that somewhere everyone has access to your personal data. Even our Aadhaar that we have enrolled, the government has come up with, it's not as secure as we believe it to be. Now, as I said that, the cyber, now again, IT is something which is evolving, even in terms of evidentiary value, in terms of a legislation itself, it is a very dynamic legislation. And the area itself, the whole online area is very dynamic. Banks, as I said, do not have a fall to financial frauds a lot. Like, for example, despite that, phishing, a lot of emails are always sent by banks to be sure that you're not victim of phishing, you're not victim of these financial frauds. Recently, just a day or two back, there has been one financial fraud which has again come into picture. A 3,200 crore scam done by a person at Noida. So this is how financial frauds are carried by e-commerce system, and it leads to problem. Now, the Digital India and Aadhaar. This project that has been launched, Digital India and Aadhaar, it collects all our necessary and sensitive information, right from your date of birth, your education, your address, everything. Now, why do they become a sensitive information? Because the criminals are able to benefit when they get access to your sensitive information. They duplicate your information and misuse this information, and frauds are committed in this fashion. And we have, unfortunately, India has miserably failed to give adequate attention to cyber security, privacy law, and data protection law in India. The stakeholders also in e-commerce players, the e-commerce players do not go ahead and comply themselves for this very reason, because the regulatory is falling short at some places. The payment gateway and the POS terminal services also fail in following the cyber law due diligence, which is big time ignored by businesses. It is only when the victim goes that one realizes, oh, we are prone to something like this. Now, mobile cyber security is another area. So, I have spoken about the India Aadhaar. I have spoken about the online payment, the e-commerce. Now, the mobile cyber security also, through my mobile. Now, the video that I was talking about, the expert spoke about how Google goes ahead and allows access to Facebook and other advertisement commercial businesses. If you must have seen, the moment you have entered a new number on Facebook, it starts showing you the person you may know. The moment you see some video, it starts throwing upon you the similar kind of videos. The moment you have uploaded or checked into some place, it will start throwing the similar kind of advertisements on you. Why? Because of data analytics. This data, whatever we are surfing, they analyze these data and start throwing these data in terms of advertisements, and that's how revenue is generated. So wherever you are going, whatever you are doing on the net is observed and analyzed by Google and Facebook and such search engines. So this security in terms of mobile cyber security is also very, very low. Now, management of e-commerce, in India, e-commerce, it is suggested that it would be relevant that, you know, it must be managed by both e-commerce entrepreneurs and Indian government. Like, for example, healthcare related e-commerce platforms and businesses need to make cyber security infrastructure robust. They should make sure that, you know, whatever online platform I have, it's a two-way methodology. Onus should be on me as the platform to make sure that whatever I am dealing on is perfect and nobody can misuse it. Everything should go through a mechanism where everything is supervised and they should be channelized properly. For example, when YouTube is uploading something, they should make sure that before uploading whether this particular video is violating any copyright. If it is violating, just delete it there and there. Inform the person who is trying to upload that, look here, what you are trying to upload is in violation of copyright and we cannot. So there should be a diligence of that kind of a level, which is missing as of now in the Indian e-commerce sector, which obviously is also on YouTube, but there has to be some diligence on that account. There has been a recent judgment where Google was stopped. A lot was spoken about that, you know, pornography is being stopped by the government. But what people did not know is that it was not the adult pornography which was stopped. It was pornography of children which was stopped. And that's when the e-commerce regulation comes to role. If as abroad, there are many countries which put a lot of locus and lot of responsibility on search engines like Google to make sure what they are throwing on their search engines, that they should stop at their end what I will show and what I will not show, which is not in India. In India, we have no such regulations, no such onus. And that's why Supreme Court has gone ahead and taken. There was a public interest litigation filed by a person who spoke a lot about child pornography and how it is available on Google. And that was what was tried to stop by the government. So these are the kind of illegality which is often found on e-commerce platform. Other good example would be of Snapdeal, where various medicines which are not allowed to be given on the counter, across the counter, without medicine prescriptions were being given. There are many other pharmaceutical online platforms which are giving medicines which are not the over-the-counter medicines which needs prescription. Such diligence has to be followed by these websites, where they make sure that no matter what, FDA does not allow this, I am not going to this. FEMA does not allow this, I am not going to do this. And when it comes to the government, role of government, the government has to make sure that when such things happen, there has to be a mechanism where the government is able to make sure that the legal formalities, whatever are required, are being followed by these e-commerce websites. If they want, if the government wants an online system to be successful, they have to make sure that the business ventures, the whether it is the online payment partners, they are e-commerce in terms of Myntra, Jabong, they are Facebook, Google, whoever who is dealing with, make sure they are complying with the legal requirement of Indian laws. Now, to be very honest, when we talk about the policy clarity, there is no clarity at all. It is completely missing in India. There is, if you go ahead and, you know, put a search in, on Google, today we go and Google a lot, or even take a book for that matter and try to find any regulation which controls the e-commerce business, the online payment, the online transaction, we will not find a single one. Because it is yet a sector which has been largely ignored by the government. People, as I said, generally the stakeholders think that, look here, we do not have any regulations in India, which is not the case. There are standard terms and conditions which you are supposed to. Copyright issues are one of this. Like, for example, let us assume I am a writer. I have a blog which I dedicate and which is a copyrighted blog. Tomorrow you go ahead and copy something of an extract and paste it on your blog, on your book. Or maybe I am a book writer and from my book you take it from on your blog. If I come across, I can go ahead and sue you under the copyright law. So these kind, nature of awareness, these awareness in terms of, you know, when I am doing some blogging, when I am using Facebook, when I am using e-commerce website in terms of selling, reselling, am I going ahead and infringing anyone's intellectual rights? Am I going ahead and flouting any rules given by the FDI, by the FEMA, or any such regulations, pharmaceutical drugs and pharmaceuticals? Am I going ahead? This cognizance is not there. People are not aware that these are the frameworks that they have to follow. But even though there are no legislation, as in the act, the foreign direct investment, there is certain clarification, there are certain norms that have been laid down. Now let us come to the definition. What is e-commerce? E-commerce is an online platform where buying and selling of goods and services are allowed through electronic networking. Who are e-commerce entity? They are entity who are registered under the Companies Act 1956 or 2013, or they are branch or office. Like for example, the manufacturing unit, the main company is outside India, but they have a branch or agency or office here in India as per the regulation given under FEMA, that is Foreign Exchange Management Act. Now, there are various models which are of e-commerce. Let us look at the inventory-based model of e-commerce. Now, inventory-based, this means that this particular model is an activity where the goods and services is owned by the e-commerce and it is sold to the consumers directly. For example, there are entities such as, you have website directly of Mac. Or you have a website of Lakme, you have website of Gap, Ginny and Johnny. These are various websites. They have their own website and they hops and they try and sell their own product through these online platforms where they give you options of debit card payment, credit card payment, COD, etc., etc. The other model is the marketplace based model. Now here it means that it provides information technology platform on a digital, and these websites are merely facilitator between the buyer and the seller. For example, Jabong is mere facilitator. They are not the owner of the goods. In fact, if you read one day, just spare your time and go and read the terms and conditions, they absolve themselves from any warranty of the product. They will say that it is whatever warranty is given by the buyer of the seller only. Now there are, as I said earlier, though there are no legislation as such, there are guidelines that has been given by the foreign direct investment on the e-commerce sector. Now what are the FDI guidelines that are on e-commerce sector? 100% FDI is permitted in marketplace under the automatic route. FDI is not permitted in inventory based model, that is where it is my direct property. Now what are the needs of e-commerce law? As I have said that e-commerce law is something which is ungoverned. People have been exploiting the role of the entire online platform. The video that I have been spoken, I think I'm sure many of you have gone through that video. It's a half an hour or to 45 minutes video wherein the cyber law expert has spoken something about the dark internet or the black hole internet, where you get everything which is not allowed legally. You talk of a drug, you will get it. You talk of any medicines, you will get it, which is not legal otherwise. There is also another way that you see incognito. The moment you go incognito, no one will be able to realize that which is the website, etc., etc. So these are very scary thing, because when you look at it, the children today are exposed so much, and anyone can go ahead and fall victim to these nature, these kind of availability on net. And that is the reason there is a big need of stringent e-commerce law, where the government goes ahead and regulates how the e-commerce business should be conducted. Now there were speculations that the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, that is the TRAI, will go ahead and regulate the e-commerce sector. But as of now, there is no such development. Now, we have the IT Act already, which more or less governs the cyber law, the cyber activity, but that is just not sufficient because not lot of people are following or are aware. There are the shortcoming, major shortcoming is that there is lack of awareness, and these are again prone to victimization of any individual who is not aware of this. Now, projects like Digital India, they have shortcomings because like Supreme Court in one of the cases said that, you know, this is not compulsory. Other than that, we do, as I said, cyber due diligence. There is lack of cyber due diligence, which has not been done. Now, what are the dispute resolution? The e-commerce has introduced various choices to the Indian consumers and customers. Okay, now it has also given rise to dispute. I remember I had purchased, now I didn't have time to go ahead and raise dispute about it. Twice I have been cheated on, once on Jabong and once on Pepperfry. The products just stopped working, and one I had ordered for something but I received some other commodity. The quality of commodity was not exactly what it ought to have been. And since then on, I said, okay, I'm not going to purchase anything online. Because unless I see them, unless there I satisfy myself with the physical inspection, I'm not. Otherwise, I will go ahead and do it by cash on delivery. There are many mechanisms that has been given by various platforms like Amazon, where they give you, 14-day money back buy, something like that. So there are dispute resolutions, but when I am suffering, there is no e-commerce law which is giving any dispute resolution system that, look here, there is a dispute resolution system when you purchase from e-commerce. Not many websites are following the laws that they are supposed to follow. And maybe this is the reason why e-commerce has flourished a lot, because and there are just no efforts. Now in USA, they are trying to see if they can make any trade rules with the help of the World Trade Organization on e-commerce and cloud computing, because that is the need of the hour, the way we are going ahead. Today I have data cloud, iCloud. I go ahead and save it in some cloud, I don't know, and from where. Anybody can go ahead and take my data. I would not come to know that my data has been taken. Okay. Now, what is the role of TRAI? Let us understand the role of TRAI. One of the articles of Business Standard had mentioned about an interministerial panel which has requested the TRAI to take up the role of e-commerce regulator, because we do not have any e-commerce regulator. The need is because even government are going ahead with lot of digital stamp duty I want to pay. Earlier I used to go to a bank, give my challan. If I am paying by cash, give all the details of the number of notes. 1000 rupees, these are the number of notes. 500, these are the number of notes. Now they have gone shifted to GRAS system. That it's an online system where I produce the challan, go and pay my stamp duty, get the challan done, and then it's automatically transferred from my bank. But are they safe and secure? My registration, the availability of Saat Bara Utara, property card, all these are digitalized now from in India. But how secure they are, no one know. Then these fields are required to be strengthened. For example, there should be something like e-courts where we can go ahead, and these are mere suggestions that have been given. Now, when I'm talking about e-commerce, only government regulations are not possible. Though it is in an unregulated mannerism, e-commerce companies themselves should go ahead and take the initiative that these are the various laws that I'm supposed to follow and I should go ahead and follow. Now, E-commerce websites in India are engaging into various violations which are of India. For example, as I said, that, you know, the pricing, the way pricing have been done, or pharmacy websites which give over the medicines which are not to be given over the counter. And these are certain violations, rampant violations that have been followed by the e-commerce portals. Why the urgent need? As I have, it would sound very repetitive, but these are the very reasons, because we do not have a framework, and nobody knows that there is ignorance and there is negligence. Both these are, and plus there is lackadaisical attitude of the government, which is bringing, and who are the victim? We are the victim. The individuals who are using this, we are the victim of all this ignorance, negligence and lackadaisical attitude of the government and the e-commerce players. Now, the legal validity of an electronic transactions. Let us understand this. We have done contract law, and in contract law we saw that, you know, what is a contract? As these e-commerce platforms are increasing, when I'm making a payment, I'm entering into an e-contract payment. I'm agreeing to certain terms and conditions, and unfortunately, blindly, when I'm transacting, I do not read the terms and conditions. I merely put a check and go ahead. Now, what are the various legal issues relating to this formation and validity of the electronic contracts? Let us see. Now, the most important forms are click wrap, browse wrap and shrink wrap. Okay. In click wrap contract, the parties have affirmative acceptance, saying that I accept. Okay. And in case of browse wrap, the mere use of browsing of the website makes it binding on the party, that I bind myself by what is given. And in the shrink wrap agreement, the contracting party can read the terms and conditions only after opening the box within the product, which the product is packed. Okay, so it's wrapped, shrinked and wrapped. Now, the validity. Now, Indian Contract Act is what governs the contract area. Apart from the Indian Contract Act, the e-contract validity is, we receive it from Information Technology Act 2000. Okay, there is also something called a standard form of online contracts. Now, the standard form of online contract, when it had begun, when e-commerce was new, the standard defense was the terms and conditions were mentioned. This was also with other companies, especially the tours and travels, that, you know, these are our standard terms and conditions. They have accepted it. We are not liable now. Over the period of time, then the courts have held that these are unconscionable, because you are not allowing any person to read it. And what happens when you are a mega player and the individual, the consumer is a small individual who do not have the bargaining or negotiation capacity. See, when it's a big fish, it's a shark against a small fish, Nemo against the big shark. So what happens? It becomes an unbalanced mechanism, where one party is very powerful and the other, what they have to do? Okay, you are powerful, I am accepting what you are saying. So that's the reason why the standard form of transactions are unconscionable. Now, what the court has held over the period of time in these contracts are that if anything is mentioned in your contract which is against the public policy, or which is against that person in terms that he couldn't have gone ahead and negotiated, then in that case, such unequal bargaining positions will leave the contract invalid. And just because the terms and conditions has been accepted does not mean that it will bind that particular individual.